is what it is, and I know it. Okay, so it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Would you be mine? Would you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Great minds think alike.
I don't know. I'm kind of looking for Mr. Rogers over here.
Won't you be my neighbor? Well, listen, I'm trying to I've decided where I think where I want to take the show. I want to take the show to I want it to become Mr. Robinson's neighborhood.
There we go.
I want it to be Tracy's neighborhood.
Do you have a sweater?
Yes, I do.
You do. All right. There we go.
And we're going to move the show around the building. Oh yeah. That's right. It's going to be Tracy's neighborhood for adults.
All right. There we go.
Welcome to my hood.
Yeah.
That's where we're going. That's where we're going, Josh, and you can think about it a couple days. I think it works. It's better than barbershop. It's better than beauty shop. It's better than, you know, this works. It's Tracy's neighborhood.
But you have a new neighborhood now.
No, I don't have a neighborhood.
Huh?
Now I got a city.
You got a city.
That's why I'm going to create my own neighborhood on the radio.
There we go. That'll work.
It's going to be Tracy's neighborhood. So it's Tracy's neighborhood.
Yeah.
Because remember, Jason hates the name of the show.
Yeah.
He said it's too close to Fox and Friends, and they want to change it.
But you had it first.
I know, but they don't care.
Uh-oh. So
no. Jason and I have been fighting about the name, and so everybody says you need to change it.
Yeah.
And so I won't take out everyone. We have to be inclusive. If it's not inclusive, I'm not happy. So I try to do romper room, but they said that was a bad idea.
Why didn't know you wanted to change the name? Because I can give that thought. I can come up with a clever
So
name.
I can't, Tracy. So I want Tracy's neighborhood.
Okay.
My neighborhood is built up of many people in their own houses, and they have their own way of thought.
Do we have a Muppet?
Huh?
We have to have a Muppet.
There will be Muppets coming, because I'm going to animate this show. This show is going to go into animation. What?
Oh, my goodness.
Listen, the thoughts in my head
cannot
be done.
Yeah.
If they have to be animated.
Oh, geez.
Because if they're not animated, they won't be allowed to be said out loud.
Yeah. I just did something really stupid this morning.
What'd you do?
Well, I bought tickets to go see the Playhouse.
Right.
And I bought them for the wrong night.
So, did you say you're giving tickets back?
No, they won't give me my tickets back.
Can you go the next night?
I don't know. I don't know. So I don't know what's going on here. Everything is all
What's going
up.
On there? Is you're going on a new night, or are you going to give some tickets away, or are you going to be pawning tickets outside?
Yeah, but you know, I have a terrible time buying tickets online with stuff.
I do too.
So, you know, I usually screw it up, and I've screwed it up again. So I don't know what's going on.
I thought it was me.
No, it's not just you. It's me, and it's just a mess.
Yesterday I went to pay a bill, and they had, you know, press 1 for 1 and press 2 for speaking English. And if you want to speak Vietnamese, press 3. And then if you want to change this, press 4. And if you want to go here, press 5. All I want to do is pay a bill.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
You said you wanted my money. I know I've been, you know, I'm getting there. it's one of those days. And we're not even live yet, Mark.
Yeah.
We're just on Blog Talk, and I haven't done Facebook Live yet. Yeah, we're on Facebook Live now. Good morning.
Anybody, if anybody's at the Playhouse looking, could they help me undo my mess?
What are you going to go see?
I'm Funny Girl. And then
can I be an extra in Funny Girl? And you think they'll let me do a walk on?
Well, I don't know. This would be their last weekend for it, I think. So
I need to figure out if I can start doing just walk ons at the Playhouse.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen those things where people just walk on? They walk through there?
Well, you could do that.
Think they'll start letting me do that?
I you know, you got to go talk to the people down there. That's
how is Patricia still down there?
Well, she is at the symphony. She's not at the Playhouse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that the Playhouse is over on Greenwood
Avenue.
Oh,
that's right. Oh, that's local.
Yeah.
Then I should be able to go do a walk on, be able to do a walkthrough.
Well, sure you could, but you've got to go, you know, get to know those folks.
I'm going to go over there and ask them, I just want to start doing walk ons.
I'm trying to think, my mind just went blank. The name of the guy who's running a gym, Oh, come on, Mark. I'm having a senior moment. But beautiful guy's got a beautiful voice, very talented person. He's done amazing things with the Playhouse. He's resurrected it. They're selling tickets, they're making money. Everything's good. Everything's good. So I don't know.
Well, I want to start just doing walk-ons. See, you know, you'll just be any play.
Yeah.
And I'll just put a hat on and something, just walk through.
Yeah.
For no apparent reason at all, just be the walk-on lady.
There we go.
I just think that would be so much fun.
Well, there's people that do that. You know, you're a famous person. They bring famous
I'm
people.
Not famous.
Well, yeah, they, I go
Infamous,
out with
maybe.
You, and, you know, I go out.
That's not famous. That's not famous. That's not famous.
It's sunny out today.
It's beautiful out today.
Nice, beautiful day today.
It's beautiful today. Yeah. I don't know whether we're up or not, but everybody checked out on me. But you listen to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440, just in case. We're on Facebook Live, and we're brought to you by Window World of Youngstown.
Yeah.
Mark, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
And you need nice windows.
Oh, we're not
out of to see the sun.
We're not up.
Okay. All right. Now I feel so. I'm at $24.
Mark. Wait a minute. Good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here in a sunny, beautiful Youngstown, downtown Youngstown day on WHKZ AM 1440. Call in is 516-595-8258. We're on Facebook Live. We're brought to you by Window World of Youngstown. For replacement windows, you want to call 1-800-NEXT-WINDOW. I got Mark Mangi in studio with me. Everybody else stayed home. Jeff can't talk. Stick's talking about he's building houses and whatever he's doing. So it's just me and Mark. So, hi, Mark. Good morning. Mark's out of money.
It's not a good morning. I'm not $24.
It's your problem.
This is the second time I've done this when I bought tickets over there. I bought tickets for the wrong night.
Now, it's okay.
Our mutual friend Mark is usually is at the receiving end of that, because I usually give him and Mary Ellen the tickets to go to the shows that I bought tickets for that we can't go to. The latest being Jersey Boys.
I want to start doing walk-ons.
Yeah.
Skip to it. I just want to start walking through. I want to be able to walk through, have no relationship to the whole play or anything, and just start walking on. Walking on football fields, walking on the basketball courts, just walking.
Yeah, why not? You could do that. Well, you know, that you could go to high schools, go down to the symphony, go over to the Victorian Playhouse, and we'll do walk-ons.
I'm going to have to start doing something.
We'll have a thing like, where's Tracy?
Where's Waldo? See, there's where's Waldo and Tracy's neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so just think about it. You got the neighborhood and you got Waldo in the middle of it.
Totally.
And I can start wearing crazy hats and colors and stuff. And my alter ego can, like, come forth in full bloom. What, Mark? That was not a joke. That was not a joke.
Okay.
So now I got a question for you.
All right.
Do we start with election 2020 or do we start with China?
Let's start with China.
Okay. We're at war.
Okay.
We've been at war with China for a very long time.
Yes.
It has been the new war is different, and I've said this before and I will say this slowly again. We have an opioid problem in the United States, and we want to blame the pharmaceutical companies, and we want to blame doctors, but America has an addiction problem with a lot of things. But we're not going to park there. We're going to keep it moving. So you have this addiction problem. Now, heroin, this is not new.
No.
Heroin's been around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's moved from the inner cities into the more impoverished areas out into the suburbs and the more rural areas. And that's based upon a lot of things that we need to talk about with deal with social issues and family issues and economic issues right there. But fentanyl, I thought fentanyl was the patches that people put on their arm when they have cancer. But that's not fentanyl. That's another fentanyl. The fentanyl that these kids are overdosing on is a tranquilizer made for large animals that's manufactured in where?
China.
Okay. So now, it's manufactured where?
China.
Okay. It is actually manufactured in China, Now, you got to understand with China, nothing goes on in China without China knowing. See, in America, Trump, you can say he didn't know. You know, Bush can say he didn't know. Obama can say they didn't know. In China, they know everything going on when it comes to import-export of China because you've got to know China. China owns 51% of every American company in China. You can't go to China and get a driver's license. China still sets the rules that China wants to set, whether you like it or not, because they are under what kind of rule?
They're communist.
Okay, just checking. So China tells you what they want you to be, and you become it, and if you don't become it, then you are cast out.
They're communist capitalists. They've managed to get the worst of both worlds and make a lot of money at it.
For a select group of people.
People, that's right.
It is not for the people.
No.
So you go to China with all your degrees, and you will find yourself in poverty like everybody else. You'll just be smart in poverty working for the government for free. But that's another issue for another day. So right now, Mark, you have Chinese people manufacturing fentanyl. It's exported to where?
Here.
No.
Mexico.
It makes a stop before it comes here.
Yeah.
So we have this massive import of fentanyl in Mexico. Now, I want you to know, fentanyl is not – they're not having an opioid epidemic, and people are not dying from fentanyl in China.
No.
Okay. So then they export it to Mexico.
They don't have a drug problem in China, period.
And so now you go through Mexico.
Yeah.
And the people in Mexico, they're big Mexico. And Mexico's not a broke country. It's just Mexican, and they got – it's just corrupt. But Mexicans, you know, it's not what people think. It's not television. So you go to Mexico – so they exported to Mexico. How do you have an epidemic in Youngstown, Ohio, in Mahoning Valley?
I don't understand. I don't understand how fentanyl works. Now, do they mix it with something, or do they?
It's like almost like a roofie. You can lace it with anything. It's
okay,
a little tiny
so
powder.
Say it takes just a little
right.
bit of it to kill you.
That's right.
How are they?
Drones.
No. If it takes a little bit to kill you, how do they I can't get it out. How do they mix it with stuff? How if it takes such a, you know, you hear on the radio just, you know, two
right.
A little bit of this is going to kill you know, half the population of the United States. How do they sell it?
How do you sell it? You sell it in bulk and you take care of it very, very easily.
Yeah.
You handle it well.
But the people who are using it.
Right.
All right. In what form do they get it? Is it a liquid form?
No, it's just laced. It's just laced with it's the you cut drugs.
Yeah.
And so when people cut them, you don't know what they're cutting. You know, cut it baking powder, I guess, whatever. They cut it with something because you can't take it full strength.
Right.
So they take these and to add and to enhance the drug, they added fentanyl to it. But if you take too much, it takes you to overdose.
And I take it there's no quality control.
And the right, that's correct. That's correct.
There's no FDA supervision
no.
of how this is being
no.
made. Yeah.
And then the high is so great because if you overdose, that's a great high. And then you have Narcan that they bring you back because you can't get any higher than going dead.
Oh, jeez. So.
And so my question is, when I go back to this war again, How do you manufacture in China, export to Mexico? We got a serious immigration problem going on in Mexico, and you have a problem in Northeast Ohio with this product.
I thought it in my family.
So
I know.
Drug right. So there is your drug war. There's your Chinese war, and they know what they're doing, and they've been doing it for years.
Well, you know, you're going to corrupt China and corrupt Mexico. It's very easy to get it into Mexico. It's the United States, you know, and we let them do it in the United States. You know, you've got all these people down there, you know, they carry, it doesn't take much. They carry the stuff in and it ends up here.
Again, but I believe it's by design.
Whose design?
Oh, I believe, because when you look at, I'm going to say it this way.
Our government?
I don't think our government is completely ignorant of what goes on. I think we allow things to go on. Or should I say, I think certain people allow things to go on. I don't think they're so – if I can figure that kind of mess out. Because you have to understand, when we do the Olympics and when we do the conventions, we can set up a crime-free zone. We're good. When the Olympics come to Los Angeles, you're not getting a whole lot of riffraff hanging out.
No, they'll clean up the streets then.
They can. I mean, no drugs are being peddled on the street corners. So if you can do it then you should be able to do it block by block continuously.
Yeah.
You know, if we wanted people to be off drugs, we know what we need to do to do it. I think American ignorance, because that book that I was telling you about with Justin Guest,
uh-huh.
And I'm going to have him on. It's very, very weird, the book. The dynamic is very strange to me, but it's very, very real. And it's talking about the politics of white middle-class America today.
Yeah.
And where they are, who they are, and who they think they are. And I'm looking at the parallels of African-Americans in America and what we think the same way. We just need to change the titles of what it is, because people are people and Americans in America, but there are people who are trying to make sure that we stay divided so that we do not grow.
You know, what's disturbing to me with these drugs coming in there is I don't know if you've been watching the well, you can't get Fox where you're at right now.
So isn't it amazing?
Yeah. So, they've been running a series on the homeless and what's happened in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Sacramento. They're going to be talking about Colorado tonight and tomorrow night, I believe. And it is drugs, 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 drugs. And Colorado, Denver, has just legalized magic mushrooms. And so these people with
magic dragon lives by the sea. Did you say did you say legalize mushrooms?
Yeah.
Aren't they psychotropic?
Yes. And so these places are becoming meccas for the drug addicts because they know they can go there. And they talked about Seattle in particular because the climate's good. These people live in the streets. They're drug addicts. It's a problem. They're going to Colorado. And you wonder, how can Colorado, you know, how are they functioning? They're just going to the streets and shooting up, and nobody is doing a thing.
I'm going to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. We'll see you on the other side of my break. Jeez.
Rocky Mountain High.
I'm not quite sure if Josh is giving me a attaboy or if he's saying I've lost my mind. He's playing Rush Limbaugh theme music as bumper music. So I don't know if that's a compliment. But I'm serious. You can't tell me, Mark, that's not a problem. How do you have an epidemic in – there's no epidemic in Mexico.
No.
There's no epidemic in China.
No.
So how do I have it in Northeast Ohio?
Because the government, we let them get away with it.
So
because we are very lax on our laws with this.
Why?
That's you're asking the $64,000 question.
So when I come back, I want to talk about – so why right now are we talking about insurance – You know, late bills when they come with your insurance policy.
Yeah.
Why are you publicizing that kind of stuff right now? I love that you're doing it. You should have done it a long time ago because they've been doing it for years. And you get these surprise bills.
Yeah.
The surprise bills that come, you get them all the time.
I got a surprise bill yesterday.
You get surprise bills from the hospital like 9 years later. Talking about you were in the hospital back in 1978, and this is what happened. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I got a surprise bill yesterday. I got to go there and say, what is this?
Well, I found out I owe taxes.
Uh-oh. Tax man.
I'm just going to be prayerful. God, please. Well, good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. I'm in studio with Mark Manji, and we are having just a conversation. I want you to join in. We're brought to you by Window World of Youngstown, 1-800-NEXT-WINDOW for your home improvement, and they will do a good job. They'll take care of you. Tell them that you heard it on Tracy and Friends, and I'll be forever grateful.
So you asked the question why before we went to the break.
Why?
Why this is happening?
Why?
Because I believe that there is a certain segment in our government that likes it this way. Because it lends them to control. It encourages dependency. It can be fixed if they want to fix it. They don't want to fix it. And when they don't want to fix it, it's because they like it the way it is.
But, Mark, let me say
because
this.
Because there's some overriding themes that go with some of these people. And drugs is not one of them.
But let me say this. Oh, let me ask this. Is it party leaning? Because when you say government, because I believe you are the government. We are the government. We are the government.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is how and it's almost like would that be less than 3% of the population? Would that be less than 3% of the population that are having control over 97% of the population?
I don't know what the percentage is.
I'm just saying,
yeah.
Because I mean it can't be the masses.
Yeah.
It's got to be the minority. But the question is the micro minority who is making these decisions. How did they get control, and why are we allowing them to have it?
Well, we vote in the office all the time. You know, look at the people that are voted into office over and over and over and over and over again. So you look at these people like Nancy Pelosi or Adam Schiff or Chuck Schumer.
But
okay?
Is it the Nancys?
Pardon me?
Is it the Nancys or is it people behind?
No, it's her.
Hold on. Is it her? Is it Bill Clinton? Is it Hillary Clinton? I mean, are they? Is it Barack Obama, Michelle Obama? Is it them? Is it Biden? You know, or is it George Soros? Is it, you know, Mark Manges? The people that are the people that are behind the scenes.
Yeah, I think the answer to that is yes to all of the above because the circumstances are different for each one of those individuals. But the bottom line is they have a common goal.
And the common goal is?
And the common goal is to achieve a permanent majority so they don't have to run for office against the Republican Party. That's their goal. And they've established a means to do it. And the means to do it is to import a lot of people into this country. So they like the way the immigration system is the way it is because that's what they want it to do. And the sideshow of that is the drug problem because that's how the drugs are coming in. Cure the drug problem, they're going to lose their goal, which is importing a lot of illegal immigrants into the country. That's exactly what they're trying to do.
But Mark, this is a long term. This is, I mean, don't get me wrong. This
how's the drug problem been long term?
That's what. Okay, let's go back. This has been a long term, ongoing continuum.
Yes.
If you go back to the 1960s, this has been an ongoing plan. So my question is, who is the architect of this plan? And because right now, I mean, like I said I was talking about insurance. You heard that they have this bipartisan support about late bills in the Senate and that they come and they do this and they do that and we get them in the mail. Well, yeah, that makes sense to me too, and I appreciate it. Now they're talking about robocalls. Duh. How many robocalls did you have to get to figure out it was a nuisance? But why don't you start talking about things that are going to affect everyday people on an ongoing continuum so that they don't have to have these problems?
So Tracy, again, going back to the drug problem, it always touches something else, okay?
Okay.
It's always so. You go to let's go to New York City. When Giuliani was mayor, he went in there and he threw everybody into jail. You did the least little thing, you threw it into jail. Crime went down, drug use went down, everything
right.
went down, okay? Now you come in, and now it's the opposite. We've decriminalized just about everything. That is a which they have a name for it. It's called quality of life crimes. These are clean streets, that sort of thing. They've decriminalized that, and so now the drugs are acceptable. That's part of that. They're just not going to do anything. And they showed last night the cops going through, riding on bicycles, with people shooting up right in front of them. They didn't stop because they're not allowed to anymore. Because the crime, we're going to throw people into jail if we do that. And this is a nonviolent crime. There's no, nobody suffers
but
because
now,
of it.
But now let me say this. You saw that Biden might take this is a good segue into 2020.
Yeah.
You've got Biden and Kamala Harris on this little splinter.
Yeah.
About the Crime Bill Act of 1994. Which was the federal three strikes you're out.
Yeah.
And Did it go too far? I think it did. I think it went too far. I think it went too because it's not like you're sending people there for reformatory. And so now you're housing people for multiple years at volumes of money
mm-hmm.
that are not producing anything, that left homes alone. And now you have legalized that which they're in there for.
Yes.
And made it to where only millionaires can actually participate in the legalization of your extracurricular activities after they've used you as a pilot.
I don't know. I had a hard time following what you were saying.
So what I'm saying is, if you're not a millionaire, you cannot legally dispense marijuana in America today.
Okay.
So the people who they actually tried the product on are incarcerated.
Yeah.
And the people that are going to make money are the people that incarcerated them.
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure I got that right.
And the thing is that with this marijuana thing, I understand. The legalization, we're having a drug problem right now because it has become socially and culturally acceptable to allow it.
Let me say this. I think it goes back to a lot of misinformation about something. And secondly, they have put I think the pharmaceutical companies have made sure for a very, very long time that some of this did not go to market. Because when you look at some people and their use of marijuana today for medicinal purposes, if it gets you out of pain and it's not an opioid, so you're not addicted to it, where do you measure that?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
Don't
get me wrong. So
I mean, I'm all for painkillers for people that have chronic pain.
People have now become addicted to opioids because of pain.
Yeah.
And so painkillers now they don't know if it's pain or the painkiller, but you can't separate them now.
And that's how the problem started in my family.
But a lot of people now.
Yeah. So I don't know, but the tolerance of legal drugs, when you get to the point in Denver where
that's a problem,
and there's a problem.
But
so you're going to have people all over the streets shooting up on everything and everybody. Nobody's going to do anything about it.
But that goes back to
wouldn't want to live in Colorado.
But Mark, that goes back to the socialistic mindset of people. You understand? People are becoming socialist in mindset in America, and they're lazy. They're non-productive. People who do drugs are non-productive. We're not trying to help people get out of anything. Yesterday, a couple days ago, I saw a young lady downstairs, and she said she was having some tough times. And I said, well, listen, give me a call if you need anything. So she called me the next day and said her kids needed a pizza. And I said, okay, and left it alone. So I saw her this morning. She hadn't had anything to say because I wanted to tell her, listen, I don't mind getting your kids a pizza, but we're going to have to – didn't you know the kids had to eat this morning before you left? That's why you prepare in the morning for the kids to eat in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But you know, Mark, that's taught.
Yeah.
And if you don't teach people how to prepare and to be productive, to get out of what they're in, they will never get there.
Well, it's even more than that they're not training it. They're discouraging it.
That's correct.
It's beyond.
That's correct. And so people who are on drugs, I promise you, they are non-productive people.
So there has to be a national awakening, not within Washington, but out in the and I think it's going to come. I think we're going to see it in about 5 or 10 years, where the problem has gotten so bad that the reaction is going to swing clear the other way. And it'll be
because the country's going to become Youngstown.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
No. So you've got people up here, our unemployment rate is blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I know, because there's lots of jobs, but you can't hire the people because they're high.
They're high, but they don't know. We haven't given them a work ethic. And it crosses socioeconomic barriers because, remember, your entitlement mentality goes all the way from the richest kid to the poorest kid.
But isn't the strike the ultimate dependency? For the government to make all the – not only are you dependent on government, but you don't care
but
at
Mark,
all.
But Mark, listen.
They
but
drug
it,
you
but
up.
Listen, but it was. It, you have to understand, they have used the black community as a pilot guinea pig program for the last 50 years. Remember, they were not drug users in the 1960s. Those drugs were brought into the community and dumped because they did not want them to have economic sustainability on their own. They needed a dependent society. And we as Americans sat on the sidelines and allowed it to happen to a class of people, and we said, oh, that's not my problem.
Oh,
and
not.
Today it's my problem because now it's come home to roost.
I'm sure there are many black participants in that effort when that started back in
I'm going to come right back to that. You're going to listen to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. The call-in number here is 516-595-8258. The book that I'm reading, this book, like it's just the same.
The same thing.
I'm going, duh, wow. Outside of he's so highly educated. He's a fruit ball. But I got a question for you, Mark.
Yes.
But he stayed at Bobby Hagan's house.
Huh?
He stayed with Bobby and Michelle Hagan. You got to read the book.
Okay.
I mean, it's really weird.
This will turn off in a second, then I got to turn this off.
Oh.
There we go.
Did Ellen Tressel send a check?
I'm sorry?
Ellen Tressel.
What
a check.
I didn't check. I'll try to pull out the
I need for you to look.
I'm pretty sure she did.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm almost 100% sure she did. Because I remember looking at the name and writing it in.
Okay. You know how much? You don't know how much.
No, but I'll have to pull out the list and look. I can't believe I'm out $24 and I did it again.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. The call-in number here is 516-595-8258. I'm in studio with Mark Manji, and I am Tracy Winbush, and we want you to call in and be with us tomorrow. Window World of Youngstown sponsors us, and if you want replacement windows, so you want to do some home improvements, you want to call 1-800-NEXT-WINDOW.
Do you have a special guest tomorrow?
Okay. Secretary of State Frank LaRose is going to be with me tomorrow.
Oh, that'll be great. Is he coming here in the flesh?
He's coming here in the flesh. We'll
be
in studio together, and so you'll be able to see him, talk with him, and ask questions. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a good day. Look forward to having him here.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Great guy. Doing a good job as Secretary
of State. He just came to his first election, so we're going to talk about that.
Governor LaRose.
Yeah, right now he just says he just wants to get through this.
Yeah, you look. Listen, by the time that happens,
He just wants to get through the SOS.
At my age, you look that far ahead that I ain't gonna be here to see.
He wants to get through the. He's got 2020 election coming up. He just wants to get through the SOS.
I see Big Bird's entering the race. De Blasio.
I thought Big Bird for real, because I was thinking, you know, I like Big Bird.
You like Big Bird?
I like Big Bird.
Which one? The yellow one with the bird or the bird or Mayor de Blasio?
The yellow
de
one.
Blasio.
With,
is it de Blasio?
I like the yellow one with the feathers. The
yeah.
same one. Listen, you should not insult my favorite characters, even if they are bloody liberals.
Yeah.
By taking de Blasio and even remotely aligning his name with Big Bird.
See, my favorite character is Miss Piggy.
See, my favorite was Oscar.
If there's a conservative in the bunch, it's going to be Miss Piggy.
No, I'm Oscar.
You're Oscar?
I love Oscar. I love Oscar. Oscar was the guy. He kept it real every day. You had to love Oscar. But don't insult Big Bird.
That's them. It's the news media called the
don't insult
call
Big Bird.
Big Bird.
Don't insult Big Bird. So let's talk about, let me see. Well, Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Mark, you're a lawyer.
Yeah.
So
last time I looked.
Okay. So let's talk about process. What people don't understand is the manipulation of process to make things happen the way they want it to.
Okay.
So Ohio has a heartbeat bill. I think there are 28 states.
Missouri is passing one.
That have either legislation. They have legislation and or have passed legislation in reference to the heartbeat bill, which has to do with abortion and when a life is determined.
Yes.
Well, Dr. Hill asked a question yesterday, and he says, well, who's going to stand there and determine what's the heartbeat? And that's just a good question. That's just one of those going, aha, which is another topic for another day. But let me ask you this about process. You have to have a bill to get to the Supreme Court before
yes.
the Supreme Court can rule.
Yes.
And it goes through a lot of different processes to get there.
Yes.
And a lot of these bills and a lot of these cases are crafted to catapult to the Supreme Court.
Certainly the one in Alabama is.
Explain that to people, because a lot of people don't realize that not, you know, the Supreme Court only takes what they choose. And there's a procedure and process to get you from where you are now to where to there. So what, how do, you know, you just because I go out here and do something, it will not get heard at the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And it has to cover everyone. So talk about the craftiness of this bill versus the Ohio bill.
Well,
where Ohio bill did not go have Supreme Court conversation, but this bill in Alabama does.
Well, the bill, I'm not familiar with the – I understand the Ohio bill is a heartbeat bill. I don't know when the cutoff is for when the abortions are supposed to be, but the Alabama bill has a kicker. It doesn't prosecute the person getting the abortion. It prosecutes the doctors. And if the doctor performs an abortion, any abortion, he's going to go to jail for 99 years. And so they're cutting it off it the other way. He's allowed to do it if the life of the mother is in danger. She's going to die.
Right.
So that's different than in order to protect the health of the mother. They're two different things. So you go up to New York, and they have you could do a late-term abortion if it protects the health of the mother. Well, what's the health of the mother?
That goes back to my heartbeat going. Dr. Hill says, well, who's going to be in the room with me to determine what's the heartbeat and what's just noise?
Yeah.
So, because you have a sonogram, and which was a good question. But my question to you is this: there's so much teeth in this Alabama bill.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm finding out, these bills are crafted for the Supreme Court.
Right.
And what you're doing is you're trying to find the right craft, the right court case.
Right.
To get it in front of the Supreme Court to get it heard.
They want Roe versus – so what's going to happen is some of these heartbeat bills deal more with when is abortion going to be allowed.
Correct.
The bill – that's Ohio.
Right.
And there's a number. Missouri's doing one. Ohio. There's a Louisiana.
Right.
They're all over. But the Alabama bill is written to overturn Roe versus Wade.
Again, but it was crafted to do that.
Yeah.
And I don't think people understand the craftiness of the bill that was passed and signed that will take this bill to the Supreme Court versus the other states and even previous court cases that did not actually were not crafted well enough or in past.
Yeah, so, I mean, the states are allowed to regulate abortion to a point. And so, like, the Ohio bill would be, where is that point at for regulation? They're not regulating anything in Alabama. They're just outlawing it. You're not allowed to have an abortion here. So the ACLU is going to come in, and they have – and the ACLU better be very careful on this. Generally, you have to have standing to sue, and there has to be a – offended party, an aggrieved party. Okay, so when you have Roe versus Wade,
right?
Roe was an actual person. We now, I forget the name, but we knew who it was, and she changed her mind on him for a long time. Okay, so so they're going to find a person who goes to try to have an abortion in Alabama, and there's not going to have one. The ACLU is going to come in and represent her and sue the state of Alabama, saying, you know, this is her constitutional right to have an abortion.
Correct.
It's not a process issue here anymore. This bill is designed to overturn Roe versus Wade. This bill says abortion is illegal. It's not a right, period. You can't have one here.
And when that happens, now there's a court, there's a case to go to the Supreme Court to sue.
So it's going to go to the circuit court.
Okay.
Then it's going to go to the appeals court. And then the Supreme Court is going to decide whether or not it wants to hear the case, and then it goes to the Supreme Court. Now, you have to understand, Roe versus Wade does not outlaw – how can I put it this way? Roe versus Wade has nothing to do with
– don't know.
The issue is – if Roe versus Wade is overturned, abortion's not going to go away.
Okay.
It's going to be up to the states.
It'll be states' rights.
It'll be a states' rights. The states will make the determination. Roe versus Wade said this, took that right away from the states.
And made it federal.
But said it's a right. It's a fundamental right. And I don't know how they reached that point. It was pretty convoluted. But if it's overturned – you know, if you're the end result would be if you're in Alabama, you want an abortion, you're going to have to go to Virginia or New York.
But I'm just
or one
saying. But what you see doing this, you're seeing this play out for it to go to the Supreme Court, and people don't understand the maneuvering process that goes on with this. That you just see it go from one place to the next. You don't understand that this was crafted. This will go through this process. This has to go through this process for it to get there.
Now, Jeffrey Toobin says he thinks the Supreme Court will overturn Roe versus Wade.
I don't think they'll do that.
I don't think the Supreme Court is going to hear the case. And the Supreme Court always operates on an interesting – they can have the most interesting topic, the most important topic in front of it. But if they don't want to deal with it, they'll find a procedural issue to bounce it out.
And they're good at that.
They're real good at that.
And that's Ohio Supreme Court as well as the United States Supreme Court. That's why I was asking you that question, because when you don't know the procedure and the process, you get there and you say, well, you know what? The president didn't – well, they said, well, President Trump's going to overturn Roe versus Wade. And I'm going, well, he can't do that, one. And then this is up to the Supreme Court and have to have a case to do that. And then you're looking at a whole lot of dynamics to make that happen.
I'll tell you what, the politics of this right now, I am floored that Alabama would try to do this right now, because this is going to be, when it reaches the Supreme Court, it's going to be right before the election.
Correct.
Next year.
Correct.
Why would they bring this to the forefront now? Well, if they could have waited till after the election,
because I
brought it and bring it then, because the Supreme Court's not going to change between them. I mean, it's still the same Supreme Court after the election that's there now.
Because I don't, and when it comes to politics, there are always enemies in the camp, and I don't think people understand that there are enemies in the camp, and therein lies our issues.
I just.
Because people don't think things through. I don't think everybody – because, again, you're going back to what you said at the beginning of the show about progressives, and we were talking about the people who actually navigate how things go. I don't think they have political party. I just think they have agenda.
Oh yeah.
And they
You're exactly right.
Manipulate people for their own agendas, and the people who are supposed to be standing up against them, called the American government, the American people, who is the we in the Constitution, they've taken that right away from them because they've taken that information away from them. Most people do not understand that they are the government. Americans do not understand the we and we the people. We is the people, and the people is we. We don't know how to make our government work. And they have made us and kept us ignorant in the application and theory of how our process and how our government works for purpose.
Yeah, and you sit there. These people coming out of the schools right now are I don't want to say as dumb as dirt, because it's not their fault. They're not taught anything.
And we need to take ownership of it, because we are the generation that did not pass the information on to them. We want to know why our children are anti-patriotic. It's because we didn't make them patriotic. We want to know why our children are more socialist leaning. It's because we didn't indoctrinate that kind of work ethic in them, and we allowed it.
Yeah, the
hopelessness in this nation.
I had too many senior moments here this morning. I'm trying to think of the gentleman who said yesterday they need to get rid of Algebra 2 in the high schools.
Who said that?
And put in life skills, how to do a checkbook, how to get a loan, how to figure interest rates, all this stuff. Not that, you know, Algebra 2 would be there for people who need it to get on because they're going into that area. But for the most part, as I told my wife, who taught home economics out in what was a rural school where only 10% of the kids went to college, I said, they're offering these kids Algebra 2. When they're 40 years old, they won't remember what the Pythagorean theorem was. They'll remember how to make scrambled eggs.
See, and this is the issue. Right now, when I was in school, when we got into fifth grade, we started taking home ec, wood shop, mechanical drawing, art, band or music, and we had sewing and cooking.
Yeah.
You can't find those seven things being taught at 10 years old right now when you have parents who are working full time. When I started school in the 70s, most kids had a parent at home still. Both parents weren't necessarily working at that time. So who's teaching them now?
You know, Ginger still runs into students today that she had 20 years ago that said, thank you for teaching me this. I use this all the time. And that's, you know, because she was a home ec teacher. And they were like the looked upon dogs. They weren't real teachers. They didn't teach important things. I said to Ginger, you're teaching them the most important thing how to get on in life.
So today remember, this is the 70s, so I was a girl. So I still know how to work a drill.
And that helps.
I know how to work a screwdriver and a hammer and a nail. At least I don't want to, but at least I know how to.
Yeah. They don't do that anymore. And they're too busy up in the clouds, blah, 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 and indoctrinating these kids to come out that America was an evil country and it doesn't deserve to exist. And so come on out and vote for us, and we're going to show you how to do it and throw everything out the window. That's what they're doing now. There's a school named Washington High School. I forget where it was. I was reading it in the paper the other day. They're going nuts because they want to take the pictures of George Washington down because he owned slaves.
And this goes back to them not telling the truth in the first place. Because American history has never been about Americans. It's always been selective history in America.
No.
We need to understand that's why we have the mess we're in today. Because that's why you have black history and you have American history. Like, black history wasn't a part of American history, and so they didn't teach it. So if they had taught it in the first place, who George Washington Carver was, and put him inside of the history book,
yeah,
and stop excluding people, then people would know what attributes came on which side.
Yeah.
But we don't do that.
Those folks, the black community that led the movement, are probably the – show how America is supposed to work.
Wrong. We'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. The call-in number here is 516-595-8258. We'll be right back.
I want to hear why that's wrong.
Wrong.
Martin Luther King?
Wrong. Definitely not.
That's interesting.
No. Definitely not. None of them. No. If people understood that you can't know what you don't know. And they knew the economics, they knew how the gears work, but they didn't understand the socialist movement that was actually coming along with what they had. So you take a person like a Barry Goldwater, who may have been extremely racist, but he was extremely right, even though he was politically wrong when he said how he said about the integration of Americans and African Americans. So he was right that America was not ready, because he saw it being lopsided, but he didn't articulate it well. Whereas Martin Luther King was looking for inclusion, but they say that there was a conversation. He says, "I think I put my people into a burning building," and he did, because they were not prepared for inclusion, because they had not learned independence yet. It's like getting married and not knowing what marriage is, and so you stay a girlfriend and never become a wife.
There's no choice.
There's always a choice. There's always a choice.
There was no way you had to go with the Jim Crow situation, but he.
There was a choice. Become selfish, independent. But our problem is we were so brainwashed, we were so whitewashed into believing that white was better. Who?
My son.
Oh.
He's been complaining about donuts all morning.
Donuts?
He's gone bonkers because lots of donuts changed the recipe for how he liked his chocolate.
We got to come back. Hold on. Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. Before I went to break, Mark asked a question about do I think that African Americans, and he said Martin Luther King was on the right trajectory, and I said no, because I believe they were heading into socialism.
Okay.
And America is not built for socialism. America is built for capitalism. And capitalism is not going to work for someone else. Capitalism is standing on your own two feet and taking the American freedoms that the Constitution was built on and enacting it. That has to be taught. And it's a very, very hard lesson, because in America, America is very, very tough. And it's tougher now than ever before. And so instead of me asking for handouts, see, affirmative action did not benefit me. But it should have been executed better. So did I sell out when I came to you, Mark, and you said that you would hire me and all I had to do was put my name on the door and I was part of your quota? Yeah, I shouldn't have done that.
No, that's not a good thing.
I shouldn't have done that. But I had, you know, I got a stack of bills right here that I need to get paid.
Yeah.
And you offered me a check that's going to pay it. And so you get this woman, and instead of you hiring the black male, you hire the black female, which is women and black. So you have this black man who has been emasculated from welfare, and now he's been emasculated because now he can't work. You take the mindset of what jobs are, and you tell them that working with your hand makes you stupid. So everybody wants to go to college now. You got to understand, the parallels of America are really striking when it comes to the black community. So you tell all the black kids, you don't want to become masons, you don't want to become electricians, you don't want to become plumbers. That's for poor black slaves. You want to become to where you own the house, so you want to go to college. So they go into college, and no one tells them not to take classes like you do in high school, because you don't have advisors that are giving them good advice. So they go in there, and they take high school loans and then wonder why they flunk out. And then you have Pell Grants that you can – and then you learn the game of the Pell Grant. You understand this has been going on for decades. They don't want it better. And so, no, they had the right idea of freedom, but they didn't understand freedom is capitalism. And that's not taught. That's not taught to white America, and it sure wasn't taught to black America. So all those little stores you had, all those hotels you had, all that stuff that was going on in Black America, they made sure you went to Holiday Inn. And so now the Central Hotel is no longer in existence. That was Black owned. You don't have a Black newspaper that has national distribution. You don't have a Black magazine that has national distribution, and I don't count Oprah for anything. And we are heading, and America is heading, going down the same road. White America is going down the same road with their eyes wide shut. Because they will not recognize what's happened to someone else who is the same as them before them. Because poor white America and poor Black America, the people that we're talking about at the top of the food chain, they could care less.
Yeah.
Then the nation becomes Youngstown, Ohio, a place with great people that has been now coming completely washed out.
Well, I was talking to one guy on Saturday, and he was talking to me about where he works. He's a manager at a local restaurant, and he says, you cannot imagine the working poor that are in these places that he has to deal with. And he described to me some of the situations. What do you do with that? You can't imagine how bad it is with the working poor.
I can imagine, but you have to teach them. Remember, you're working poor because poor is a mindset. See, there's working broke and there's working poor.
But the employer's not going to be the one to teach them.
The problem, again, as I said about the Cleveland Clinic, when I went up to the Cleveland Clinic, you have two young ladies. Her job all day long is to take your credit card, debit card, and put it into the automatic drag and come out and say, do you want a receipt? No, thank you. Hand your credit card back, and the gate opens up. You got to understand, that's for a young lady in her 20s. That is not what you call a good bouncing place for growth.
No.
That's not an entry-level job.
No.
So she may have children. Now she's going to try to feed her family on that.
Yeah.
She's not going to end up inside the hospital from that position right there, unless she's going to school. But you have to encourage people to go to school, and you got to make sure that you're in a realm and the mindset that's going to teach you that. Because if I'm not mistaken, association brings upon assimilation. So if nobody else is going to school, why would I go? So if I do go to school, you know what I'm going to go for? I'm going to go for hair and nails. I'm telling you, I'm going to go get my hair did. I'm going to go for hair and nails.
There we go. They do well.
No, they don't.
Some of them do.
I
know several that do very well.
I know several if that's what you needed to do.
Yeah.
But if you're not, but if you don't have the business savvy for it, if you don't understand it, if you don't have a call for it, it's like being a lawyer, Mark.
Yeah.
It's a great business.
Yeah.
But there's some broke lawyers.
Yep. Am I lying? Lawyers. There's a lot of broke lawyers.
There's a lot of people that you would not we would not imagine that have law degrees.
Yeah.
They have passed the bar and everything.
Well, that's because, you know, they're throwing lawyers out of law school like wheat through a chute. I mean, it's just they're coming out. Because it's cheap to run a law school. It's expensive to run a medical school. It's expensive to run a graduate school like pharmacy. And that's a law school is cheap. All you need is a room, a professor, and a library. And that's it.
And now the library's online.
And the library's online now. So it's
Can we start a law school?
Hey, we used to have one up at Youngstown.
Please don't give the Truffles any ideas, because we will have a Youngstown Law School. School of Law will be back. Hey, you've been listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440 all day. Don't forget to tell your friends and neighbors that we're here at 11 o'clock. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow with the Secretary of State, Frank LaRose. We'll see you then, and have a great day. Thanks, Josh. Hold on.